When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
And we are back and better than ever. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance, ready to roll on this Monday. Yes, I said it. It's the best sports week of the year. I love it. We got the NFL draft beginning Thursday. We got the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs flying at us. A fascinating opening weekend for the basketball that we'll dive into. Plenty of baseball out there. Trade rumors. Let's go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
And here he is, the man, the myth, the legend, Dan Graziano, our insider extraordinaire, fresh off a Norwegian cruise, right? Yeah. Is that what they're called again? Is it Norwegian? What is it?
Yeah, that was the cruise line we went on.
Norwegian cruise.
We usually do Disney, but this time it was just different.
So you went on a cruise this past week.
Yeah.
For your son's spring break, which is delightful.
Yeah.
And you were able to unplug. And
so much.
Get away from life.
Yeah.
And then you come back and immediately smoke Hembo on one of the hardest trivia questions.
Well, look.
Okay.
If the trivia question had been about something that happened last week, I wouldn't have got it.
That's correct.
Like, as I just was not paying attention.
But for anyone who didn't see it, I would throw this. I defy anyone else walking the face of planet Earth to have gotten this right. So, Bubba and Cam, did you guys see it?
Sure did.
Okay. So, I can't stump you with it. But, I mean, the question was, who's the last quarterback drafted in the top 10 who did not start a single game as a rookie? And Dan, unbelievably, not only identified the correct answer as Jake Locker, but told us what draft and what number he was picked.
Yeah. And as Dan was unpacking his logic, I just left the room. Because I could already tell once you got to the draft itself, I couldn't actually sit there to experience it on camera because it was too painful.
Weird draft because it was during the lockout. Right. And Cam Newton was one, Von Miller two. Good picks. But then out of nowhere, like around 8, 9, 10, like people start drafting these quarterbacks that had no business going that high. Christian Ponder and Blaine Gabbert played for a while, but was not.
Happened in the COVID draft too, by the way.
Yeah. So it was very strange. Very
Let's
strange.
Take a look at the 2011 draft here. Yeah. Just let's see just how extraordinarily
There's
on
some
the money.
Studs.
Sure.
At the top of this draft.
Right, like, was that the year that was the Julio Jones year, right?
Yeah, he went 6.
And A.J. Green, the Bengals took A.J. Green.
He went 4.
And then Andy Dalton in the
number
second.
Number 1, Cam Newton to Carolina. Number 2, Von Miller to Denver. Number 3, Marcel Darius to Buffalo.
He played for a while.
Mm-hmm. Number 4, A.J. Green to Cincy. Number 5, Patrick Peterson to Arizona. Number 6, Julio Jones to Atlanta.
Yeah, some Hall of Famers.
Number
in
7,
there.
Alden Smith, who was a very good player.
Very good player, but got derailed by other
issues.
Stuff. Yeah.
But and then Jake Locker came 8. Then Tyron Smith to the Cowboys, who's now a Jet.
Yeah.
Blaine Gabbert, J.J. Watt, then Christian Ponder. What a draft.
Like, you had
this
to work
was.
Pretty hard to miss in the top 12, 15 of that year's draft, but some teams
but
did.
A few teams managed.
Yeah.
Here we go, though. Like, that's going to be the case again this year. We're going to have 4 quarterbacks that go really high, and 10 years from now, we're going to look back on the draft and be like, oh,
maybe
why
one
did they
of
take
them.
That guy there?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's what always happens.
It just happened 2 years ago, and people haven't learned their lesson.
The Jets took Muhammad Wilkerson, who was a good player.
Very good player.
Out of Temple there. Okay, so now let's get down to business. So I want to read you something that was just sent to me by a researcher from ESPN helped me with. Alex Denner was researching Get Up this morning, and he sent a note right towards the end of our show. And I think this stuff is significant because the betting markets, there's an insight there. It's worth following closely. Jaden Daniels, when we began Get Up this morning, so 2 hours and 4 minutes ago, Jaden Daniels was minus 150 to be the number 2 overall pick. His odds kept moving and ended up at minus 170. We opened the show talking about him, whether our segment on it had anything to do with it or not, I don't know. But it ended up at minus 170. And ESPN Bet, our friends there tell us, there have been more bets on Daniels to go number 2 overall than any other draft bet at ESPN Bet. Drake May to go number 2 has been the second most popular draft bet. Dan Graziano, what can you tell us?
I mean, the people that make these lines have access to information, and to some extent, have more incentive than anyone else to get them right.
Right.
Right? Like, it is more important than me being right about the prediction by far, because there's massive amounts of money that are flowing through those casinos and sports books. So, yeah, I mean, we often see it. We've seen it. I mean, it's unfortunate sometimes. Obviously, you see movement on the day of the draft where all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, Paolo Banchero is going to be the number one pick, right? And so... yeah, I think Daniels feels like the most likely way Washington will go. They've been very tight-lipped. They've played it close to the vest, whatever cliche you want to use. They have definitely kept it secret, but they've also delayed the decision. They had those four guys in together last week.
Weird.
They wanted to make sure they had every single shred of fact that they had on all these guys before making a decision, but they're obviously at a point now where they have to make it, and Daniels seems like the one that makes the most sense.
What do you think, Hembo?
I think it's really weird that they had all those guys there at the same time. When you talk to people around the league, did anyone raise an eyebrow to that exercise?
Well, it's unusual, but Adam Peters, their GM, comes from San Francisco, and apparently there were times when they did this. And it wasn't just four. They had a total of 20 prospects in over Tuesday and Wednesday of last week, from my understanding. So it wasn't just the four quarterbacks. They wanted to get these guys all together. They took them to Top Golf. Right, they wanted to get these guys all together, see how they interact with each other, rather than sit them in an interview room that they had time to prepare for. Like, let's see them in unscripted situations. So, I mean, I don't get a lot of people saying it was a bad idea. It's just not something a lot of teams do.
I don't mean to laugh.
What?
And I'm sure it does. I don't know. They brought them to Top Golf.
Yeah, Top Golf.
What are we doing here, people?
There's not a ton to do in Ashburn, Virginia.
Well, like, but I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is this: that I have long, look, in the NBA, as you know, they have the draft a week after the finals.
Yeah.
If they held the draft a week after the Super Bowl, teams would get things so much more right. Washington took them out there. Did you see Drake May hit a 6-iron? I mean, if he can make the ball move both right to left and left to right like that, how do we not take him at number two?
Minnesota would not have passed on Steph Curry twice if they saw him at the driving range.
This is what I mean.
No chance.
He's a scratch golfer. Golic used to say all the time, they don't bring the bench press out onto the 50-yard line. Like, they don't, it doesn't, like, they base their decisions on all sorts of things. And I understand. I had this argument with Bill Polian a million times, and he would always explain to me how all those numbers, not the Top Golf part of it, by the way, but, like, you know, all the different measurables that they do. I mean, if you don't check these boxes, you have to understand that you're going a little bit outside the box, if you will excuse the double usage of the word there. But the point remains, we've gotten ourselves to a place now where we're just doing insane things for the sake of doing them because we have to fill some time. At the end of the day, there are teams that want Jaden Daniels, namely the Raiders, more than anything. Can they get up there? Is there a world in which they get high enough to get him?
Not if Washington wants him, right? I mean, like, that's pretty clear that Washington will stay at two and make a... So then
they
question
becomes... They need
Washington
to be willing to deal.
Or to take somebody else. So then they try and get up to three or four, if that's what it... So if it goes Caleb Williams, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, right? Now Jaden Daniels still there at four... Then, I mean, first of all, people are going to be throwing elbows to try and get up and trade with Arizona. Arizona is going to be just loving that. Yeah. Like, they get whatever they want. But, yeah, I don't think as long as he's going to, as long if he's Washington's guy, then they're not moving off of it. And Adam Peters made it pretty clear in his pre-draft press conference, which I caught up on some of those yesterday, that they weren't planning to move out of the pick.
Now, I want to go find Jordan Reed's mock draft, which he just
did. Yeah, this is interesting.
Yesterday, he has, and Hembo, help me find who he has ahead of him. I don't have it printed in front of me. But the mock that that Jordan did has J.J. McCarthy mocked to go 8 to Minnesota in a trade up with Atlanta. That makes sense to me, except that everyone has been projecting J.J. McCarthy to go earlier than that. So he's got the three quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, right?
He does.
Then take me through who he has 4 through 7.
Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona.
Could easily happen.
Joe Alt to the Chargers.
So that's the point where is someone going to make a trade there?
Yes.
Like is no one trading up to get the quarterback? If they don't, then that leaves, and you and I were talking about this morning, Graziano, it leaves Malik Nabers there for the Giants to take at 6.
Right. And so would the Giants, do the Giants like, in that scenario, J.J. McCarthy enough to take him at 6? Or would they rather have neighbors who might be the overall better prospect at the less critical position? So that's the question. So in that mock draft, the alt pick by the Chargers at 5 is the one that really diverges from where a lot of people are on it, because that leaves neighbors. So if it goes Caleb, Daniels, May, Harrison, neighbors, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then the Giants are in a spot where either it's McCarthy or maybe it's a trade down, because they've already devoted high-end draft resources to the tackle position. They're probably not going to do that. And, you know, you could sit tight and take Rome Odunze, but you also might get some offers for that pick. The closer it gets to that 11, 12, 13 range, the easier the deal is to make. That's why, I mean, Jordan is projecting Arizona and the Chargers to sit tight and make their picks. That's the most likely outcome. Trading from 11 or 12 or 13 up to 4 is expensive. Like, it is hard to do, and you have to be willing to part with maybe 3 first-round picks.
Well, the Vikings banked an extra one, though, in the trade with Houston.
Sure, but is that how they want to use it? Like, that's the thing. If you're going up to get J.J. McCarthy, and it's going to cost you 3 first-round picks, your question is not, is he the 4th best player in the draft? Your question is he worth 3 first-round picks? That guy has got to be who? Eli Manning or better. Like, seriously.
He's got to be an elite quarterback. Yes. An elite quarterback for a decade is well worth whatever it is you have to spend.
If that's who he is, then the answer is yes.
But if you're the Giants at 6.
Yes.
And you trade up to 4. That's a trade I could easily see Arizona liking, because they could go back there and still get one of the two elite.
Exactly.
If the Giants are coming up to 4 to get a quarterback, then Arizona is assured of getting either Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers.
Right.
That's a trade I can see them liking. And from the Giants' perspective, it's a lot less expensive than it would be for Minnesota or somebody else.
But the thing you have to remember about Arizona is they have 11 picks. And a lot of them are premium picks on the first two nights as a result of previous trades. So if they went back to 11 or 12 or 13, they could get back up. They have the ammunition to get back up and take one of those receivers maybe at say, you know, 6 or whatever, if the Giants are trading out. So, yeah, I think that's from the Arizona end. I think they have flexibility. The question is, what's the price if you want to come up, you know, 5, 6, 7 spots? And is that something that makes Arizona willing to move down and miss out on those top two receivers?
Now, another one that is near and dear to my heart, Graziano in here talking NFL draft. I could literally do this forever. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Another that is near and dear to my heart, of course, is the Jets at 10. Mm-hmm. It does feel like an interesting little spot. Most of the projections have the big 3 receivers and the big 4 quarterbacks off the board by the time the 10th pick comes.
Right.
So you do some simple math, that's 7 picks. So who are the other 2? Does a defensive player go in there? If Atlanta stays where they are, do they take Dallas Turner, the pass rusher?
Alt probably gone at that point, right?
That's the other one.
Yeah.
If Joe Alt, the 6'8½ offensive tackle whose father is in the Chiefs Hall of Fame from Notre Dame, if he's still there at 10 and the Jets don't take him, I'm walking off the set.
I mean,
I won't be able to continue.
Honestly, if he's still there at 8, the Jets should be calling the Falcons and seeing what it would take to take him. Right, exactly, because I don't think that's where the Falcons are looking.
The Jets don't have a lot of picks, though, right?
No,
they don't have a second.
No, they don't have a second because of Aaron Rodgers' trade, so trickier. But you know what? Is 10 to 8 going to require a second-round pick?
I don't know. You tell me. I don't have those charts.
Like, if you're the Falcons and you're at 8 and literally no defensive player has been selected yet, and you know the Jets are coming up to take Joe Alt, you know you're going to get, moving back to 10, one of the top 2 defensive players in the draft.
Right.
Like, that's a great spot for them to be in. You may be willing to just say, give us anything, right? Give us your 3rd-round pick, right? And we'll move back and take one of the guys we were thinking about anyway.
Yeah, so those would be Dallas Turner. We would assume the
corners.
Pass rusher out of Alabama. Alabama has a corner named Terrion Arnold. There's another one named Quenyon Mitchell, who's coming out of Toledo at corner. There's also a pass rusher that I'll be fascinated to see where he goes. Just remember the name Leiatu Latu from UCLA, because he medically retired. He was at BYU. He medically retired because of a serious neck injury, got cleared to come back and play at UCLA. I think the consensus is he's the best defensive player in this draft, but people are scared to death of the medical.
Right. And what's going on now in NFL buildings, like today and tomorrow? A lot of it is the final meetings that these teams have are about the medicals. They'll bring the doctors in and they'll say, all right, we're considering Latu. What can you tell us? And they'll say, he's fine. He's cleared. He's fine. Whatever. Or they'll say, he's going to be great for 5 years, but then you're at risk of that being a short career, right? So I don't know. Like, I'm just saying speculative stuff, but that's the kind of meeting they have here over the next couple of days before they set their final boards.
All right, would you like to know what you have spawned? The greatness of the matchup between Graziano and Hembo on GetUp has spawned a twice-a-day sneaky Hembo on radio now.
Oh.
We do it twice a day on radio. So we'll go to break with this one. Let's see if you want to take a pop at it as well. Okay. Hembo, first trivia question of today.
I can't ask this guy another football question. I'm going NBA here.
Okay.
What is the last team to eliminate the Lakers from the playoffs in back-to-back seasons? We know the Denver Nuggets could do it. The last team to eliminate the Los Angeles Lakers from the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. That is the question.
Love it. The answer is next on ESPN Radio. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. A lot of basketball playoff conversation coming up, including the answer to Sneaky Hembo's first trivia question of the day. After this word from AutoZone, are you dealing with a dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. That way you can find out if you need a new battery or not, if you just need a fresh charge. If you do need a replacement battery, they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution, and America's number one battery destination. Hembo, go.
The Nuggets are 3 wins away from eliminating the Lakers from the playoffs in consecutive seasons. And so my question is, what is the last team to do that? The last team to eliminate the Lakers from the playoffs in consecutive seasons?
That's a good question. Bubba, what do you think?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm just going to go with a random guess from a team in the Western Conference. I'm going to guess we'll go with the Phoenix Suns.
Phoenix Suns is a good one. For the record, Graziano guessed the Celtics, which would involve the Celtics beating them in the finals in back-to-back
years. I thought about going Eastern Conference.
I'm going with the Celtics.
Yeah, so let's think that through. Oh, by the way, Cam has shaved his mustache, and he looks terrific. Oh, our handsome young man is back. I can't tell you how happy I am.
The prodigal son returns.
The handsomeness of Cam has returned.
It is nice to feel my face.
But anyway, I could have lived without that. But anyway, here's the thing: for the Celtics to be the answer, they met in the finals in consecutive years when Kobe was there, but they split. So for this to be the answer, it would have to go back to the 80s, right? It would mean that no team has beaten the Lakers in consecutive seasons in the playoffs since Magic Johnson's Lakers did it, which I have to believe someone has done it more recently than that. So we have those guys.
I also don't think they played back-to-back. I think they had an off year, if I'm not mistaken.
In between?
Yeah, I think so. I thought they played in 08 and 2010.
The Magic the one year.
Yeah.
And that was in between them?
And then they met again in 2010.
Because the Celtics beat the Lakers and the Lakers beat the Celtics, right? That was not consecutive seasons?
Either way,
I don't think that, like you said, they split
Celtics.
The
they definitely
matchups.
Split them, yeah. So it
Celtics beat the Lakers in 08, Lakers beat the Magic in 09, Lakers beat the Celtics in 2010.
Okay, so it didn't work either.
So way. I'm going back to Bird and Magic.
My point is, it wouldn't have worked even if it had been in consecutive years. Jack?
So I couldn't think of a time where maybe I was hoping the Spurs or Grizzlies or Mavericks in the 2010s. I couldn't think of one, but I do remember one time because it played into the Nash-Kobe MVP debate. I think the Suns got them in back-to-back years in the 2000s, right after Nash won the two MVPs because it played into that whole Kobe versus
Nash. It's another
vote
for Phoenix.
All right, makes me feel good about my guess.
Brandon is going with the Dallas Mavericks.
Makes me feel even better about my guess.
Oh, that's a great line.
Well played.
All right. I was going to go with San Antonio just because they won the West so many freaking times. It seems like a possibility, and I don't know the answer. So just to have a different answer on the board, I'll go with that one. Hembo.
The correct answer is the Suns.
Ah!
The Suns clipped the Lakers in the playoffs in 06 and 07.
Wasn't one of those the one where Kobe didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter of a game where they got eliminated? I'm sort of remembering sort of a bad vibe, which was what led to the offseason where we thought Kobe was going to leave L.A. And
they got Pau Gasol instead.
I vaguely remember
I'm sort of remembering all of that. Well, Jack would not remember it because you would have been like one when all of that happened.
How old were you in 2006?
Six or seven. At the time, I was probably six.
Anyway, one way or another, the pineapple doesn't fall far from the tree. Jack's dad is here today. And so we've been delighted to host him, and we'll continue to do that as we go. In the meantime,
Joel Embiid is prone on the court. Oh, man, the Sixers' playoff hopes are on the line.
He's really a warrior, and he's battling, and he absolutely wants to play.
He is risking ending his team's season because they're not going to win this series without him.
It's a terrible situation that we are seeing, regardless of who you're rooting for. And look, I am a born and raised New Yorker. I am a fan of the Knicks, and I'd like to see them win this series. Hembo and Cam are born and raised Philadelphians and would like to see the Sixers win this series. But I don't think anybody wants to see Joel Embiid lying on the ground writhing in pain again. You'll have the chance to hear game two of that series tonight here on ESPN Radio, coverage 7 Eastern on most of these stations, presented by Indeed. Here's the bottom line of it. So in game one of the series, for those of you who did not watch it Saturday night on ESPN, the Sixers were plus 14 when Embiid was on the floor, and they were minus 21 when he was not. I do not think it is overstating it to say, with Joel Embiid, the Sixers are the better team in this series and would win. Without Joel Embiid, the Knicks are definitively the better team in this series and will win. So that's what's on Embiid's shoulders. And I feel kind of bad for him because what's on his shoulders is not as significant as what's on his knee. And that's where the issue is. That meniscus is an issue. And I will admit, it scares me to death. And every time he runs back out on that court, I'm just waiting for it to go. And I'm sure the doctors are telling him that's not a concern. I'm sure the doctors are telling Nick Nurse that's not a concern. That's a meniscus. It's not the ligament. It's not, I don't know. I'm not a doctor and I can't analyze this stuff. But there is a part of me that does wonder, the way he looks, should he be out there on the floor?
I would say, as a Philly fan, I have held my breath more watching Joel Embiid play than I have watching any athlete in my lifetime. That's not a stretch to say. He's not a spring chicken anymore. Joel Embiid's on the wrong side of 30, and I think we can ask ourselves an honest question. Are we watching the tail end of this prime? And if the answer to that question is yes, then what do we have to show for it? I think the Sixers have no choice, and Joel Embiid will give them no choice but to play and but to play compromise. You mentioned that they were minus 21 when he was off the floor.
Yeah.
That was in 11 minutes. Like, they stand no chance in a high-level competitive series without him on the floor. Now, even 80% of Joel Embiid is an absolute superstar, as evidenced by the fact that they were so good in his minutes. They're just going to keep running him out there, hoping that he can approximate the player that he was in the first half of that game. And that's the best shot that you have. The games the Sixers need to get are games 3 and 4. The games in Philly, the games with 2 days in between the games, so he'll be out as healthy as possible. But that's really the key for me.
Are you telling me you would sit him tonight?
No, I wouldn't sit him ever, because you can't punt on a playoff game.
But if you're telling me those are the games they need to get.
But what if you can steal one? What if you steal a game and he can give you 25 minutes tonight?
That's, I think, why he came back.
I think so too.
Game one. Mm-hmm. I think they were desperate. They were in position to win. You seal the deal there. You win game one, and then you can take off Monday's game two, and now you don't play again until Thursday.
Yeah, I think that's right. If they had won game one, I think he would have. I think he'd be out for game two.
Cam, should he play tonight?
He should play tonight. I agree that you always hear about a series doesn't start until the away team wins, but a 2-0 hole is. Just seems dicey heading back to Philly. I have more confidence in the Knicks stealing one in general than the Sixers stealing one without Embiid. So I think they need to maybe manage his minutes a little bit, but put him in judiciously and like try and get him out there, because that play is just the Joel Embiid experience all in one. A spectacular throw it to himself off the backboard, earth-shattering dunk, and then he goes down. Like Embo said, every time Joel Embiid falls, I just expect him to be injured. That's how I've been for the last 5 years or since he started his career. A lot of times he is. So it's just so tough to watch, because you see the guy that can take over a game in half a second, and the next half second he's writhing in pain on the floor. So he should play tonight, as risky as that could be. But 2-0 is a tough hole to climb out of, even at home.
I really feel bad for him. I do. I like Joel. I've met him on a few occasions. I don't know him, but I've been around him a little bit. He's a very easy person to like. And I'm trying to think, I can turn anything into a conversation about sports history. I'm trying to think of a player like this. There have been many great players whose careers have just been derailed by injury, whether it was never got a chance to see what they could be. I'm thinking of Greg Oden, for example, and others who had looked great and then had an injury and were never the same again. Maybe someone like Grant Hill, who I think was initially trending toward being an immortal. I mean, being one of the great players of all time, and then started having all those issues with his foot or his ankle, whatever it was. And was never the same again. Still had a good career, but wasn't the player he could have been. With Embiid, he just gets a serious injury every year. After the beginning, when he basically couldn't play because of his back and all that. What was it? The first 2-3 years, he didn't hardly play.
Oh, he didn't play his first 2 seasons with the foot.
Right. It was the foot?
It was the foot.
There was a foot.
The first 2 injuries seasons.
Wasn't there a back in there somewhere?
It's a partridge in a pear tree, but the first 2 years he didn't play because of the foot.
But for a guy to have been as good as he's been when he's been out there, I mean, he won an MVP.
And you know how many players in the history of the NBA that have won an MVP have never played in a conference finals?
Are you going to tell me he's the only one?
He is the only one.
Oh my gosh.
Jeez.
He's the only player to ever win MVP that has never played in the Final Four. He's won 5 playoff series in his career, in 11 playoff series in which he's played entering this year. He's missed games in 5 of them. Like, this is just the Joel Embiid experience. We have never been blessed with the full, like, in his prime, in his bag, healthy Joel Embiid in a single playoff.
Didn't he break his face in one of them?
He did break his face.
Orbital fracture, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything happens to this guy. So many people may not know this, but Bubba, who you know, of course, for his legendary career in radio production, you may not realize that before this career, Bubba was a world-renowned orthopedic surgeon. I mean, he was an extremely well-regarded. You know who Neil Eletrash is? Mm. So he trained under Bubba. So that's he learned. Job, what's it, Frank Job?
Yeah,
whatever the name of that doctor is. I mean, Bubba.
They're all under his umbrella.
They're from the Bubba tree.
the coaching tree.
Bubba. They're from the Bubba medical tree. Mm. So Bubba, I would ask you, with that as your perspective, do you believe that Joel Embiid should be out there trying to carry his team on his shoulders while his knee is in this condition?
Yeah, I think earlier on Get Up, I saw you were referencing the famous Durant. Well, he can't do any more damage than obviously he did get get hurt. But, you know, everything I'm seeing with, you know, all the reports I've read and all the in-depth x-rays and MRIs I've seen, I don't think he can do any more damage. So I think he should be out there. So, yeah, to all the points have been said so far, you can't go down an 0-2 hole. If this is a game they can win, and they basically almost won game one, I think he has to be out there. And I think this is a different situation than Durant's, where that was the strain on the calf that led to the Achilles. If there is really going to be no long-term damage on the knee and he is okay to go, I think he has to be out there, because this is a game they can take and win. And to go back Philly 1-1 is a huge deal.
All right, so let's get one final word on this from Pineapple Jack. Again, the pineapple doesn't fall far from the tree. His dad is here today. Very proud to see his son doing his job here, and we're delighted for that. So what I'm giving you the floor here. What are your thoughts on the Embiid of it all, and where this thing goes from here?
Yeah, I mean, just talking about the what if, I think the cross and the fork in the road for the Sixers was choosing essentially Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah.
And if you could go back to that offseason and you bring in Jimmy Butler instead of Harris on the max contract, who knows how things play out. And you know, maybe we don't have Joel Embiid as the only MVP not to be in a conference final. But I think that he has to play because, as you said, he might be on the back end of his career. When you do get a chance to make a run, you can't miss those opportunities. And if they do somehow find a way past the Knicks, the road in the East isn't that bad. You get to the Celtics in the conference finals, and at that point you're playing with house money. Mm-hmm. I just think for Embiid, he has to relish the chances that are available, and you don't know how many there are left with the injury history.
Cam, you're telling me we have an update?
Yeah, not on Joel Embiid. Malik Andrews and others are tweeting and reporting that Tyrese Maxey is questionable with an illness tonight.
An illness? So we've got an illness. I see it here. Malik Andrews, Philadelphia 76ers list Tyrese Maxey is questionable for game two with an illness. I mean, look.
If he's out, you punt.
Well, if he's out, you might as well just not
100%.
Play. 100%. Oh, I see what you're saying. If he's out, you don't play him.
Yeah, Jack's right. Jack's right about that. There's your easy excuse to sit Embiid and put all your eggs in the game three and four basket. I think Jack's right about that.
Now, you bring up an interesting thought. I'm going to spin this back to just how right I was about the Lakers and how they should
only
never,
you
they should never have, they should never have won that game last week. Beating New Orleans last Tuesday is one of the worst decisions that any team has ever made, and here was your way to do it. Have someone wake up with an illness and then just all of a sudden, well, he's ill, so we're not going to play him, and we're going to put all our eggs in the Friday night basket and not take a chance on. I'm just making this up. If LeBron has an illness, then we're going to sit AD for this game so that we don't like use him up, and then he can't. Like, this is your answer. You just said it. If Tyrese Maxey is too ill to play, then there's no way you put Embiid out there. You risk him killing himself all by himself. You lose anyway. Now you're worse off than you started. So you sit them both. You live with the fact that you're going to get obliterated tonight. You come back and your season is on the line Thursday night. That's what you do.
I think that's right. And you can do that. You can do that, I think, honestly. Unlike the Lakers thing, which would have been a little bit more mischievous, a little bit more cunning. That I still
can't get behind. Let me ask you a question.
Can't
do you
get
know
behind.
That this is not that?
No, I don't know.
Do you know that? Have you seen Tyrese Maxey throwing up
No,
today?
Bubba, have you checked his temperature? Did you get a read on his temp?
I didn't get a chance to yet today, but I got a couple guys in the room checking on it.
So his vitals? We haven't gotten his vitals yet.
He was not at shoot-around, is being reported. So.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, you're telling me that it's not...
Well, they're doing it correctly if they're, you know...
Yes, exactly. You're telling me it's inconceivable. You tell Tyrese Maxey, hey, you're sick. Tonight ain't your night, kid. Stay in the hotel.
But can I go to shoot-around? No.
No, you're not going to shoot-around. No one's going to see you. You're sick. That way, that's our explanation for why Joel doesn't play. The Knicks get an easy one tonight at the Garden. You come back Thursday night, and your season hangs in the balance.
I like it. I'm not saying that it's inconceivable, but I think this could still work out for the Sixers in the best possible way.
Well, I mean, look, people are acting like this stuff never happens. This stuff happens.
Just not in the playoffs. It just rarely happens in the playoffs.
You tell me, how different is this? You're telling me when one player comes off the bench who has not played the entire season in the second quarter of a playoff game, and 1 minute later, that player and the other team's star are fighting and rolling into the stands fighting, and that team's star gets suspended for two games during a playoff series. Is that so different?
It is not so different.
It's not so different. These things happen. Google JoJo English and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, these things happen. Teams do what they need. This is about winning. It's about winning. And if Tyrese Maxey has to take one for the team and eat a bad clam or whatever it is that he's got to do, well, then we're just going to have to live with it.
That is not what's happening.
What's not happening?
I think he's not faking an illness so that Embiid doesn't play.
Why
I don't
not?
Know that because it's ridiculous. They want to win.
Why is it ridiculous?
Because they want to win game two. They don't want to go down 2-0.
But what if Embiid really needs the rest?
Then rest really him and Maxey plays. You have a better chance of Maxey winning, of them winning if Maxey plays without Embiid.
They were minus 21 in 11 minutes.
And what are they? They're going to be minus 50 without him.
Fine, then be minus 50. What's
why?
The difference?
Why? If he's not sick.
You lose by one or you lose by 50, it doesn't make
there's
any
not
difference.
A Tyrese Maxey, margin table Tyrese here. Maxey doesn't need to rest if he's not ill. He's actually ill. He's not going
to
play.
Here's the thing. If you sit Embiid tonight, though, he only has to play two games in 8 days, and you're going to get two really good games in games 3 and 4 and feel good about going into game 5 tied 2-2.
Okay, so I want, before we're done today, I want Tyrese Maxey's temperature taken. That's
yeah,
what we need. We need a thermometer stat. Wherever it is they're staying.
Is it streptococcus?
No, that's not what it's called.
Well, sometimes you get a fever with
streptococcal. Yes. Oh, I thought you were talking about Coxsackie, which is a different disease. No, that's what I was joking around about with Matt.
Sometimes we confuse streptococcus and Coxsackie.
Well, they're in many ways. Bubba will explain
who
the
among
difference
us
to it as we continue. In the meantime, I've been called out for something for no reason whatsoever, and I'll explain what that is next. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. Here's a tweet.
When you tweet all that stuff out, guess what? Da-da-da-da-da-da, we got it.
My favorite tweet of the day.
So John Kincaid tweeted something. You know him, John, for many, many years here on ESPN Radio. And Bubba and Cam, he has sort of called me out here. And I need someone to explain to me what it is he's calling me out for. So at the end of every show, I record what we call a looky, because that's Liam's old word for it used to be, like a look ahead, but like a promo. Hey, it's Greeny, and coming up tomorrow, we'll do this and we'll do that. It's going to be the greatest show in the history of mankind. Don't miss it. 10 Eastern on ESPN, right? Whatever it is. So we record those every day. So Bubba, John tweeted, in the past month, Greeny has promoted overnight his favorite event of the year, March Madness, his favorite weekend of the year, the Masters, and now his favorite week of the year, which is NFL Draft. You need to take a stand, Greeny. Which is it? Now, far be it for me to nitpick, but it does seem to me that those are not the same thing. So my favorite event is the Masters. Of that, I have never made any question. My favorite event of the year, March Madness. Sorry.
Wait,
did I say my favorite event of the year for March Madness or the best event of the year?
You probably said the best.
See, that's the difference. March Madness is the best event of the year. It's not my favorite. So March Madness is the best event of the year, without fail. It's never not good, literally never. That Thursday, Friday, literally never disappoints. The Masters is my favorite weekend of the year. And then this week, that has the beginning of the NBA playoffs running into the NFL draft is my favorite week. Now, Cam, are those inconsistent statements with each other?
I don't think they're entirely inconsistent, but even just now you did mix up whether March Madness and the Masters is your favorite event of the year.
No, I just misread it. I just misread, because he says here that he said that I said my favorite event of the year was March Madness. I don't think I said that. If I said that, then I deserve to be called out, because A, I would be misrepresenting my own opinion. I would be misquoting myself. March Madness, I think, is the best event we do in this country. For example, I'll give you my reasoning. The Super Bowl is the biggest event we do. What percentage, how many Super Bowls have we had? 58, 59, mm-hmm. whatever number
right
we
there,
had.
Almost
how
60.
Many of them have been great? Half?
No, not even.
Okay, fair enough. What the Masters, like even this year, the Masters, I love the Masters. I live for the Masters. It was a coronation on the back nine. No one had a chance to catch Scottie Scheffler. It just isn't always thrilling and compelling. It's always wonderful because of the course and because of the traditions, but it is not always great. March Madness is never not great. It's foolproof. They're going to give you 16 games a day those first 2 days. One of them has to be great. It's impossible not to. And everyone's got their brackets and all that. So I think it is the best event of the year. My favorite is the Masters, and this is my favorite week.
I guess the question is, can you have multiple favorites? Is it a singular or is it a plural? Because, for example, my wife, when you ask her, who's your best friend, she names six people.
Right.
Right. I think that's incorrect. I think you need to have one best friend. She has six better friends. She thinks she has six best friends. I think you can have one favorite something. One.
But
well, they're different.
But
things.
These are different things.
Kind of.
Like you can have a favorite food and a favorite movie, and those two things are not.
But that's right? Not what we're doing
my,
here.
Well, but my favorite weekend and my favorite week. Those are not distinguishable
just,
from each other.
You're just, I think, conflating a little bit. You're just conflating
I mean, I
a little.
I think they're different things here.
I mean, the week is a week, and the weekend is a weekend. I'm not sure what part of that is confusing.
You're trying to have your cake and eat it too.
So my the Masters is my favorite weekend. Because the weather usually has turned here where I live. Look, I've lived my entire life either in New York or Chicago. So I've lived in places where it gets cold as can be. And so, like, usually this is around the time that I can start playing golf. And so I'm particularly excited to play after the long winter. And so there is nothing better than a weekend. When you get up in the morning on Saturday, you play, you go home, and you watch all day. You get up in the morning on Sunday, you play, you go home, and you watch all day. That's the best weekend of the year. Now, this week, where we have NBA playoff games, I had four of them Saturday, I had four of them Sunday. I'm going to have games every single night this week. And then the draft? That's a great week. That's as good a week as you could possibly have. What am I missing? Like, what am I saying that doesn't make sense? Help.
I would just say, to take people a little bit more behind the scenes, I would posit that you have probably labeled a certain weekend the best weekend of the year multiple times, whether it's championship weekend for the NFL.
Cam, I got to interrupt you here for a second. I'm sorry, I just got to interrupt. Why is your right hand stamped at work?
Oh, sorry, this is from a bar.
This morning? Did you take
no,
a shower?
Saturday. I guess it hasn't washed off.
Saturday?
That's questionable. But wait, let me go back to what you were saying. Because here's the secret. Here's the secret, Cam. So what you're suggesting is that I have said, I don't know that I would have gone posit, but one way or another, I suppose it's fine. I have stated that multiple things are my quote-unquote favorite.
Or best.
I'm going to teach you something.
Now, you say best. It's the best weekend.
I'm going to teach everybody something.
I mean, we understand why you do it.
Why do I do it?
To create urgency.
No, that's not why I do it.
And to make everything seem like it's the best.
And to make things sound more important.
No, that's actually not right. Because you're talking like I'm doing something that is dishonest. And I'm not. The greatest quote, the most important quote that I'm aware of in the history of human civilization is this. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Nothing great was ever accomplished without enthusiasm." And that happens to be true. Enthusiasm is the one thread of commonality amongst all the successful people I know or know of. So what you are hearing and misinterpreting as a dishonest sell is actually my excitement. Even at 56 years old, in this business for 35 years, I still get that excited about this stuff. Now, that may be sad because it suggests that there aren't other things involved in my life that take my attention away that could, but I'm saying I still get that excited about the tournament. I still get that excited about the Masters, and I still get that excited about the draft. And so my reaction is, oh my God, this is going to be the best.
Well,
and
those are genuinely how I feel.
Different things, though.
How are they different?
I mean, no one's refuting that you're allowed to be excited and enthusiastic about these events, but they can't all be the best ones.
You know what? In life, you're better off if everything is the best when it happens. Like, if the moment that something is happening, I don't know, I'm just making this up, like Lizzie and her six friends.
Ugh.
Now, she's with one of them now. She's with Sarah. I don't know. What are these people's names?
Katie.
Give me a name.
Katie.
She's with Katie, and she's like, this is my favorite person in the world. Katie is my best friend. And then a week later, she's out with?
Mary Caitlin.
Okay.
You call her MC.
It's quite a name. But okay, whatever. MC. I'm with MC. And she's just the best.
I
love her. She's my best friend in the entire world. And then the next week she's with
Sam.
You got Mary Caitlin and Sam. I don't know why that just strikes me as funny, but whatever. Anyway, okay. But my point is, when she's with Katie, she means it.
Well,
and when she's with Mary Caitlin, she means it. And when she's with Sam, she means it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
We shouldn't neglect Caroline.
This is what I'm saying.
She often feels left out.
You're leaving out Caroline.
She doesn't have kids yet.
We also got to get Cam a shower here.
And there's a sixth person in this, right?
Catherine.
Who have we left out?
Catherine.
There's a Catherine and a Kate and a Mary Caitlin?
Yeah, and I can barely keep them straight.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not going to lie to you. I can't keep up with this in this conversation.
They're all her favorites.
And God bless her for it. She is the one who has it right, and all of you are the ones who don't get it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. Obviously, the Knicks and Rangers are at the center of most of the conversation in New York sports right now, and so far so good for both teams. I will say I was surprised. I don't know, did they announce the finalists for the league awards last night or this morning? Because I don't know why I didn't see it last night if they did.
Nor did I.
I just saw it this morning. And Tom Thibodeau is not a finalist for NBA Coach of the Year. And I'm not going to sit here and scream and rant and rave about it. The coaches of Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and Orlando are the three finalists. We voted for Thibodeau, I want to say, second or third.
Second. He was second.
I don't have any huge argument, I suppose. I mean, I don't think this is an outrage, but I am surprised that Tibbs didn't get more votes. His team, I think, is so clearly a product. Their record, I think, is so much a function of what their coach did this year. And I'm not taking that, like, Oklahoma City surprised everybody, Minnesota surprised everybody, Orlando too. But I feel like, let's put it this way. I mean, we voted Tibbs second for a reason. I think I'm surprised he's not going to finish in the top three.
Me too, especially because it's so apparent. It's so obvious that so much of the Knicks' success is built upon their culture, a culture that for 20 years was not able to be established by a variety of coaches. And over the course of a few years, Tom Thibodeau has established one of the most attractive cultures in the sport. Also, he doesn't have Anthony Edwards on his team. Anthony Edwards, you know, a second-team All-NBA player at worst. Jalen Brunson is enjoying the very best years of his career right now under Tom Thibodeau, too. The amount of injuries that they've had to withstand to be the 2 seed in the East, it's very, very difficult for me to justify him not being a top three finalist.
Well, I mean, you've got Banchero in Orlando. You've got Anthony Edwards in Minnesota. You've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in Oklahoma City. I mean, you've got MVP-caliber players in all those places. I think Banchero is headed that
terrific
way for
player.
Sure. And so I'm disappointed. I like Tibbs. Look, full disclosure, and anyone who watches Get Up knows this, that before he took the Knick job, he worked for us for, I don't know, 2-3 years?
A good while, yeah.
And was in our studio on Get Up all the time, and is a fascinating guy. You know, his personality, it doesn't lend itself to TV perfectly. He doesn't have a big, outgoing, gregarious personality. But he is the kind of person that when you would get him in the right place, his insight is so good, so valuable. Watching basketball games with Tom Thibodeau was fascinating. So I'm a little surprised he's not going to finish top three. Obviously, he'll take making a deep run in the playoffs over that award 10 times out of 10. We continue in 15 seconds.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.